First, before there can be blood, there must be a sacrifice. In this case, it is the blood of a bull, a ram, and a goat. The slaughter of these animals is required so that there will be blood to be used in making atonement. Second, if it wasn't already obvious, if there is a sacrifice and the shedding of blood, there must be loss of life. Let's also not forget the scapegoat. Though it was not ritually slaughtered, it would have lost its life in the desert. Again, the sins of Israel dying along with the scapegoat. So there must be the shedding of blood, which requires a sacrifice, which directly results in the loss of life. The third thing brought out in the Yom Kippur service is that the service must be performed by the high priest alone. The slaughtering of the animals, the transferring of sins to the scapegoat, it is the high priest's job alone. Indeed, consider Leviticus chapter 16, verse 17, which says, "No one is to be in the tent of meeting from the time Aaron goes in to make atonement in the most holy place until he comes out, having made atonement for himself, his household, and the whole community of Israel." This leads to a fourth important point. The community participates in the atonement by doing nothing. The high priest alone does the work. No one is even allowed to be in the tent of meeting until he is finished. Though we usually miss the fullness and profound truth of this point, this is actually the central command in Scripture for how Israel is to observe this day. Leviticus chapter 16, verses 19 through 30. "This is to be a lasting ordinance for you. On the 10th day of the 7th month, you must deny yourselves and not do any work, whether native born or sojourner sojourning among you. Because on this day, atonement will be made for you to cleanse you. Then before the Lord, you will be clean from all your sins." Our sole purpose on this day of Yom Kippur is self-denial. As the high priest does his work of service alone, the slaughtering of animals, the sprinkling of blood, the transference of sin to the scapegoat, there's no ritual for us to perform. There are no vows to rescind and prayers to recite. We do not contribute to our own atonement, and we do not assist in the cleansing from our sins. Indeed, we are not even supposed to be on this day. We are to deny ourselves. We are not even supposed to exist. So atonement requires blood, which requires sacrifice and loss of life. It is to be administered by the high priest alone, and the community is to participate by doing nothing. Our sole responsibility on this day, then, is to deny ourselves, to cease to exist, and simply receive the cleansing from sins that is being performed on our behalf. So if this is the whole of our participation in Yom Kippur, then it is vital that we fully understand and embrace what it means. So practically speaking, what does it mean to deny ourselves? Let's explore this for a few minutes. According to tradition, the phrase "deny yourself" is essentially an instruction to fast, to not eat or drink for the duration of Yom Kippur, such that we are denying ourselves of that which sustains life. I think this is a vivid and valid interpretation for one way that we can deny ourselves on this most holy day. We also deny ourselves when we abstain from our appetites and refuse to participate in the lusts of the flesh. Consider Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. "So I say, live by the Spirit, that you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature." Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry." 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. "Dear friends, I urge you, as aliens and strangers in the world, to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul."